Jovo Rustavelli Avenue. This is Tabeelpod.com coming to you from our studios high atop Prospero's Books and Cafe. Today is Thursday, the 26th of July, 2012. On this date in 1533, Atahualpa, the 13th and last emperor of the Incas, dies by strangulation at the hands of Francisco Pizarro's Spanish conquistadors. His death marks the end of 300 years of Inca civilization. In 1803, the Surrey Iron Railway, the world's first public railway, opens in South London. In 1847, Liberia declares independence. In 1887 is the publication of Unua Libro, founding the Esperanto movement. In 1947, U.S. President Harry Truman signs the National Security Act, creating the Central Intelligence Agency, Air Force, Joint Chiefs of Staff, National Security Council, and the Department of what had been war becomes the Department of Defense. Not sure how accurate that was, but okay, whatever. In 1956, following the World Bank's refusal to fund building of the Aswan Dam, Egyptian leader Gamal Abdel Nasser nationalizes the Suez Canal. In 1965 is the birth of Jeremy Piven, American actor who played me in a movie called PCU. On this date in 2001, Georgi Tsarnaya, the much-beloved Georgian journalist, was murdered. Today it's me, Cameron, and Matthias. We don't have to take responsibility for anything we say, and you can't make us.
Because it's the internet.
Because it's the internet. And that's just the way it works.
I know someone whose first language was Esperanto.
No way.
I do.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
A university professor.
Wow.
But you're a born nerd. I mean, like, you can never undo that.
That is just amazing.
I cannot make any more comments. Well,
but, the most beautiful, the brutal disputes in the world are the Edo and the Esperanto people, because Esperanto has articles and, like, some other things. And so when it showed up, then the sort of better, more serious language came up with an even simpler and easier language called Edo, and they just hate the Esperantonians, you know, so because that's just the way it worked. Okay, Mike Vitis Politra and Georgian Journal column this week is about the political spectrum and how there's not really a right-left spectrum at all in Georgia anymore, especially after they created the jobs ministry. The real political spectrum in Georgia is one of openness and closedness. So, Nino Zuriasvili's studio monitor office was robbed. Six PCs, two cameras, one flip camera, two Macs for editing, and even tripods were taken.
And maybe one has to explain, maybe not everybody knows what studio monitor is. It's basically the team, almost the only team of investigative reporters in Georgia, and certainly the people who produce some of the best stories in Georgia. They have it aired every week on Maestro TV because none of the other stations would show it, even though they offer it for free. And they've done a lot of good reports on corruption, on, you know, pollution, injustice, on the center point pyramid scheme, and many other things.
Yeah, it's high quality stuff. I mean, they tend to, you know, they hit their targets pretty hard. And I wouldn't, you know, exactly call them completely neutral, but they really do serious investigations.
They have sources. It's not just rumors and speculations.
Yeah, it's like, sourced, and they don't speculate that. I mean, it is the preeminent investigative journalism entity in the country, and they uncover really, pretty lurid stuff. Anyway, the Office of Studio Monitor is in a very, very safe neighborhood, close to the Parliament building. In an interview with Zuriasvili that she gave to Liberale, she said if the police refuse to find the thieves, that she'll assume that it was planned by the government. I mean, obviously, you can't know if it was planned by the government, but with the crime rate in Georgia, you know, if they didn't find the stuff, there were rumored to be cameras all over the place. And, I mean, it would be extremely unusual that they would not find that stuff, because that kind of equipment is very easy for them to catch it through the fencing,
you know,
if they were real criminals.
And apparently, so they left some expensive Macs in the office and walked out and locked the door, even, which is a bit weird for, you know, robbers. But they took, for example, an old women's handbag that had a hidden camera in it. So it was like they were very selective in what they took.
Had they recently moved to that location, though?
Yeah,
so you have a number of suspects.
But, I mean, it's a tough neighborhood. Some people have gas stolen out of their Nivas in that neighborhood.
And by some, that would be me, because we live in the same building, actually.
Tatsminda, man. You got to love Tatsminda. Tatsmindeli, we are. Okay, so there's a Dutch initiative to collect money for Studio Monitor, if anybody is interested, so that they can buy equipment. If you don't mind, go there and send it around Facebook so that they can get some money and get moving on things, even though they've lost several months' worth of material that were on hard drives. The website is Indiegogo, which is Indiegogo.com/Studio Monitor. But if you go to Indiegogo.com, you'll see the icon for it. There was a hailstorm in Cajeti that damaged about 40 villages last week, completely destroying vineyards, some vineyards and houses. The disaster soon became a focus of the pre-election campaign by the government and opposition. The government decided to spend 162 million lari to compensate for the damage and repair infrastructure. There was not enough money in the reserve fund, so the government had to amend the budget. Affected households will receive money ranging from 300 to 1,500 lari. The government will also pay the interest of families who had loans from banks. Georgian Dream and other opposition parties said the public does not know how the government spent the 100 million from the reserve fund, and they questioned why there was no money when people actually needed it. They demand that the spending be made public, which it is not yet.
Actually, it was the Minister of Finance came out and said what it had been spent on. He didn't give any sort of like itemized spending list, but he kind of recounted what it was, which included, you know, spending on the youth Georgian soccer team so that they can play in the UEFA or whatever that is, and then like also on the rugby team, and then there's also something about supporting political parties, which I found quite interesting, and other public events and things like that. So
yeah.
I don't think he gave an itemized, but he nonetheless read it out somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, in past years they have funded New Year's concerts, similar events. They've funded Canal Peak from a reserve fund. I mean, they've spent it on a vast number of things, and often you ask yourself, they spend so much from these reserve funds. Actually, you would think there's actually more in these reserve funds than they...
What happens with the reserve funds is pretty ridiculous, because I think there's supposed to be a percentage allocated from the budget each year. And what happens is then they go and, like, what they did one year was they went and said, like, oh, those funds actually weren't spent from the reserve fund. We're going to reallocate those to other budgets, and now we actually have another 20 million in the reserve fund this year to spend. Yeah. Voila. And there's also very little oversight, I think, about, you know, this. I mean, as far as I understand, the parliament is supposed to actually be overseeing this expenditures of both the reserve funds that exist, the government as well as the parliamentary, as well as the presidential, but it's not happening.
As we know, with the constitutional majority in parliament, the parliament doesn't oversee anything that the executive doesn't want it to oversee. And funny thing, the executive doesn't want it to oversee a lot.
Yeah, but to be fair on this, there have been some talks in past weeks before the thing in Cajeti happened that the reserve funds would be included in the future from procurement rules. So right now, nobody knows how the money is spent because it's not done through public procurement rules. But there were some initiatives to include it into these procurement rules so that you can at least see who gets the contracts.
Interesting.
Yeah, but you also have to look at what it's being spent on, not how it's being spent. And I think that that's another big issue, because they're being spent on things that aren't actually supposed to be spent.
Yeah. Right.
The youth wing of the Georgian Dream, Otsneba, held a protest rally in front of the parliament calling for transparency in the reserve fund. Ivanishvili also used the hailstorm to promote his electoral campaign. He said he would help farmers and provide even more for them than the government. He decided to pay all the fines to the state he had refused to pay before. The fines amounted to 80 million lari. As his spokesperson explained, there's no other way Bidzina could help people in Cajeti. Any other way would be considered vote buying. So Bidzina paid the fines and said that he hopes this money would go to help the people of Cajeti.
I actually think that this is so interesting, because it gave him a perfect way to get out of this whole... I mean, he saved face, you know, and also...
He didn't save $80 million, but, you know...
Well, he wasn't going to save $80 million.
Right.
I mean, they already had installed this Ugulava there, who was basically probably going to do all sorts of interesting things. And
but hadn't all the interesting things been done? I mean, isn't but Cartu's now a shell company, right?
No, I don't think so.
They
but they lost a lot of assets in
right.
Yeah, I mean, maybe all the interesting things had been done, but so he managed to get rid of that thing. He also managed to look like he's helping the people of Kakheti, and he also is interested in, or as far as I understood, has announced that they're going to be doing some sort of monitoring of the way that the funds are spent, which is also maybe another interesting civic initiative.
Great, great. New Prime Minister Vano Metavishvili had a government meeting where he discussed the damage and said that everyone would receive aid. He also said the government will give these families wine. We plan to, and I quote, we plan to hand over a minimum volume of wine to the natural disaster victims so they can toast their families for the new year.
This is a joke?
No. No,
supposedly this is
true. To distribute wine to Kakhetian farmers?
I don't know. Man, hey, I don't know. They got to, you know, if they're going to distribute something, they can sure come up with something better than that.
But, well, they used to be forcing people to buy the grapes, so now they're just finding a way to make people drink the wine.
Well, the government buys the grapes and gives the wine. Okay.
They will. Yeah, it's going to be made. It's government-made wine.
Which I'm sure is just absolutely delicious. As he explained, state companies would bottle the wine and send it to the families. Exactly. Okay. Head of State Audit Service, Levan Bejashvili, resigned, saying that he needs to be next to his people in Kakheti to alleviate the consequences of the disaster. Poor, long-suffering Levan Bejashvili, you know, and the, you know, who is the Chamber of Control guy, sort of doing their thing, kind of plodding along, state audit agency, not really, you know, I don't know, not in the news a heck of a lot, and then all of a sudden that young woman showed up and started all the whole, you know, hullabaloo. I think he's relieved to be out of there.
But looks like he's going to run for parliament.
I'm sure, yeah. Where is it? Sikhnachi? Isn't he from Sikhnachi? Is that right?
Wait, what young woman?
I can't remember her name. Who's now the one who's doing
the party financing
stuff.
Former prosecutor.
The Chamber of Control became the entity that deals with party financing.
Sure, that's what you're referring to.
And I even heard that one move they did apparently this week is they asked the regional media association about equipment they had bought from Videoscope, a video company in Tbilisi that had sold cameras and equipment and services to the Georgian Dream and TV9, and as a result had a tax audit. And so the Chamber of Control apparently even now goes kind of after private companies that are very far away from parties to check, you know, if they can find anything.
Just to be sure.
What's the time frame on that, too?
I don't know.
I just wonder how far they're going back.
MP Lasha Tordaya replaced Bejashvili and became the new head of the audit service. He used to be chair of the Human Rights Committee in Parliament. Since Bidzina fully paid the fine, mandatory management over Kartu Bank ended and the government returned shares to Kartu and Progress Bank. The hardest working NGO in the COC, Transparency International Georgia, released a report which says that the authorities were actually spending budgetary finances during the pre-election period and are carrying out short-term social projects to influence voters. The student employment program is one of the examples. Many of you may have heard about Nina Khatiskatsi getting fired from TI. It was very much in the news. She said that she didn't know about any of these issues. It came out of the blue and implied and had her allies imply that it was politically motivated and that I, Mark Mullen, chair of Transparency International, had fired her for political reasons. It was said by some expert, I forgot his name, you know, and others, that I was ordered to by Giga Bocchetti or Misha or others. That was not the case. She just didn't do her job very well and was impossible to work with, illustrated by how she's been acting in the last few days. She had been asked to improve her work for many, many months and did not, so not very exciting or as exciting as she had portrayed it to be. In the NDI polling saga, poll done by somebody connected with Oxford University showed up as NDI released its polling data, and it very much disagreed with it and had Otsneba, the Georgian Dream, ahead of the national movement, if I remember correctly. But they have not disclosed their funding or their methodology. Supposedly they had a very big sample, but when they said when they'd done the questions, it would have been practically impossible for them to go through the number of forms. There was a TV show in which there was some foreigner supposedly connected with Oxford talking about it who really had no information about it.
Well, we have this famous and opaque entity around the Committee for Open Democracy.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they have a bunch of foreigners walking around with undisclosed funding and giving press conferences and making statements and...
Yeah, really, lot of these, you know, there's, you know, in some ways it's understandable, these sort of shill, you know, fake domestic monitoring organizations, but fake international observers are really just sad, you know. We have not, you look at their website, there's no funding disclosed and whatever else, and it's just not a good thing.
Did you guys hear about this Maestro TV thing and them refusing to air Georgia's Not For Sales anti-Ivanishvili ads?
Yeah.
It was quite interesting because they basically said that they had been using violated their copyright, and so they refused to air them.
Yeah, so the Georgia Not For Sale campaign aired these ads on Imedi, Maestro, no, Imedi, Rustavi 2, Kavkazia, and so on, but Maestro didn't want to air them.
This week, a video was posted on Facebook showing two guys dragging an older woman who wanted to meet Misha in Saishi in Samegrelo. The treatment of the lady was really, really appalling. She was speaking to journalists, explaining her problems and why she wanted to see Misha, and then suddenly two guys approached her and dragged her away. There were even some reports that they temporarily locked her in some basement. It's all very much discussed on Facebook, whether the policeman would get punished or not. Yesterday, the Interior Ministry said that they arrested the two guys for 15 days and that they sacked the local police official who witnessed the incident but did not react to prevent it. Also yesterday, Misha personally visited the lady at her house and told her, those who will stand between me and the people in hardship will definitely be held responsible. The funny thing is that Rustavi 2 showed every step of Misha while visiting the lady, but did not bother to show the video of how the lady was treated before when Misha was there.
And so these guys, I think, deserve the middle finger of the week.
Exactly. Yeah, we usually put that at the end, but they get the middle finger of the week. So somebody be sure to flip them off in pretrial detention. If you happen to be in pretrial detention in Samegrelo,
we have a big audience in Samegrelo. Right. Prison population.
You know, the guys that drag that poor old woman, and, you know, then flip them off for it.
Were they weren't policed them themselves, though, right? I mean,
I don't think so. I think they were. They were, you know, what do we call them? Local party activists, or whatever.
I mean, they were. Yeah, if anybody wants to be infuriated, go to dfwatch.net and click to the video, and you can watch what happens.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's pretty bad. This is not the only case where certain people were not allowed to attend the president's visit. Cajeti Information Center reports now that a 55-year-old woman was locked in a room in Tel Aviv municipality so that she could not get out and see Misha. Amnesty International expressed its concerns over the failure of the government to protect opposition supporters as well as journalists from politically targeted violence. They also said that violence ahead of elections should be stopped. Georgian Dream said that they would sign the party's code of conduct, which has been put together largely by young lawyers and Transparency International. UNM, United National Movement, has suggested that they provide changes in the wording regarding post-electoral behavior. They insist that all parties have to recognize the election results if international organizations deem it free and fair. Georgian Dream, on the other hand, offered parties to take commitments to resolve all the disputed issues about elections results solely through peaceful and constitutional means. This is actually a very complicated question because I think, you know, Otsneba has legitimate concerns that, considering the influence that the government has over the outcome of the electoral process and that sort of thing, that, you know, they don't want to be locked into making a commitment if the
right.
results are rigged. On the other hand, the government, you know, has what is a reasonable concern that Otsneba will lose the elections and will refuse to accept those results and will just protest anyway.
Right, right.
The problem is that, you know, international observers have no idea what the results of the elections were, and they will, you know, they'll say, they're not going to say it was free and fair. They'll say
it was a big step in the right direction.
Completely
watered
down.
In some
down.
Direction, and there were some flaws, but also some non-flaws.
It's going to be lowest common denominator language.
It's going to be the most, you know, the dumbest statement in the history of statements.
And then you will have these fake election observers that are, you know, paid by one side or the other.
Right.
And they will say, no, completely, you know, rigged, or no,
right.
superb. I've never
Perfect.
Seen that. I'm an experienced Canadian expert.
Canadian. What do they do with Canadians, man? The Canadians Canadian economy so good right now? Why are these, you know?
But so, I mean, this seems pretty reasonable, I would say, coming from the Georgian dream, what we're hearing. I mean, I don't think that they should be forced to say, like, oh, international observers writ large, you know, if they all of a sudden give their stamp of approval to these elections, we have to accept them. I think that that's completely legitimate.
Their concerns are quite legitimate. On the other hand, the government's concerns are also legitimate, that there could be, that they could just be planning. I mean, the government believes, or at least some people, you know, believe in the ruling party, that the plan is, no matter what happens, to have enormous street demonstrations. And if the elections are fair, and if Otsneva loses, you know, that would be very, you know, not be very nice. Now, the question is, you know, what is the definition of losing? Same thing goes for the government. I mean, you know, I mean, Misha said that if he loses the election, you know, then we will accommodate that. But, I mean, realistically, would that happen? I mean, if Otsneva wins, you know, gets more votes, would they be allowed to, you know, control the parliament? And I think they have some legitimate concerns about that, too. It's just the difference is with Otsneva is because of the influence that the government has over the outcome and the whole electoral process and everything else.
Which we're in right now,
you know, in the voter list and everything else, then, you know, I think many, many observers feel that it's pretty unlikely that scenario would happen, even if that's what the voters want.
I mean, it's also interesting to question if, you know, the Georgian Dream won, you have the executive, you have the UNM in the executive with Misha, and you have the opposition in the executive with the parliament and the government. I mean, it's like going to be a clusterfuck if that
Oh, no naughty words in Tvielpod. No naughty words in Tvielpod. You know, this is a family show. We apologize for this. Also, I don't really know how to edit, so I don't know how to get rid of that. So for all of you children listening, you know, don't...
I'm too European to believe.
You say... Bumble cluster or something instead. But okay, sorry.
See, snafu.
All right, a snafu. Right, there we go. Situation normal, all fouled up. On Wednesday, journalists, public figures, and citizens held a protest rally in front of the parliament demanding Maestro TV on satellite dish antennas to be exempt from seizure. 2 days before the protest rally, the chief prosecutor's office made a statement that they impounded thousands of newly imported dishes as part of the ongoing investigation into vote buying. They also seized up to 10,000 satellite dishes on the 11th of July. From what I've heard and some things that have been floating around, we need to check a little bit more carefully, but, you know, essentially the Chamber of Control made a mistake when they were calculating the net present value of the dishes that were being given out. They used a monthly number for an annual interest rate, common mistake that you can make while calculating net present value, and so they're wrong. And in fact, it is a profitable exercise, and the judge just didn't feel like dealing with that.
With Maestro, I mean, there's another argument that it's not a criminal offense. Even assuming it what somebody was trying to, you know, give gifts to voters, that's not a criminal offense. There's no legitimate basis to seize something. You can only find them if you really have evidence, but there's no way that you can actually take these dishes away.
Yeah, this is of all of the different things that are going on right now, the access to information is the most appalling, and I think that this satellites is just the worst. Well, and depending on what is or is not found out about Studio Monitor, but. You know, this satellite issue is really, really the worst. And there are a lot of stories that are coming out of villages of people that have satellites that cops are going and talking to them, that there's a big issue related to satellites. That, you know, if you have, you know, that people that don't, you know, people that want to see it will get people who don't have someone in the family employed by the state will get one so that people can go over to their house to watch it, because whoever does knows that they're going to be penalized and all that kind of stuff.
And it also looks terrible from the outside. I mean, people who have, you know, don't know what's going on here, they read somewhere in a newspaper, Georgia, you know, takes away satellite dishes from people. That is looks pretty bad.
Exactly. Parliamentary Chairman Dato Bakradze stated that the authorities would encourage keeping must-offer rules beyond Election Day. I don't know really how the encourage would be made manifest. You know, they can do whatever they want, but okay, whatever. Also reaffirmed that they were against keeping this as a legally binding obligation after the elections, meaning what? They would like to keep it as a gesture of munificence or something? Yeah. I mean, okay, whatever. Must carry obliges all cable providers to transmit all channels which have news on them. Meeting Channel 9 and Maestro would get a much larger audience.
Until the day before the election.
Until election day.
Sorry.
Until election day, which is just the dumbest imaginable thing to do. I mean, can you imagine like the fever pitch, you know, going on and then all of a sudden, chick, darkness, and you can watch, you know, we can imagine what humanity is
saying.
Swan Lake. Around the government meeting at State's Chancellery, headed by Prime Minister Vano Matabashvili, only camera crews were given access to film, but reporters were not allowed to ask any question. President's spokesperson said that this limitation of reporting will be resolved and that a new code of conduct will be introduced for the State Chancellery Media.ge reports. Civil.ge reports that Georgian government has hired two more Washington lobbying firms, Prime Policy Group and Gebhardt Government Affairs. Georgia National Security Council signed a six-month contract worth $150,000 with Prime Policy Group in June.
I would just like to point out that now that we're in the seventh month of 2012, this is a grand total of approximately $1.56 million that the Georgian government has spent on U.S.-based lobbyists. And that part of that, which I find is quite interesting, is that they're lobbying democracy issues. So people are lobbying this in front of the U.S. Congress and, I guess, other agencies, which, I mean, I don't know, kind of brings us back to other earlier discussions that we had here where we were looking at what's going to be the repercussion of, you know, a bad election in Georgia at this time. I mean, would there be, like, you know, aid cuts? Would there be, you know, bilateral kind of partnership issues? And
okay, here's my advice to the head of the National Security Council. All right. You know, just release the satellite dishes, all right? That'll cost you $150,000. Please, you can send me, I'll give you my wire transfer information, all right? That'll really help you out with the democracy perception with the U.S. government. You know, we'll be sure to tout it high and low all over the halls of the Rayburn office building. Batumi City Hall will not allow Georgian Dream Coalition to hold a rally in European Square on the 5th of August because of the tourist season. City Hall offered Georgian Dream a stadium in the suburbs of Batumi, but they were not so excited about that. Can't imagine why. IRI public opinion polls were leaked to the media. As always, the polls show that the ruling United National Movement Party is in the lead with 43%, followed by Georgian Dream with 24%, Christian Democrats with 7%.
For our regular listeners, they'll remember that that's a pretty big difference from the polling that we reported just recently from NDI, which shows 36% and 18%. For the UNM and Georgian Dream, and then a really low, what was it, 3%? I thought for Christian
for Democrats. Yeah. Democrats. Yeah, so it is significantly different, which, you know, says something. IRI's polling, for whatever reason, always seems to be somewhat more favorable to the national movement than NDI's. I don't know much about, you know, who did the poll or whatever.
We don't know anything because these are leaked numbers. I mean, so has there been a public statement from IRI?
I don't know. IRI, can you make a public statement about this, you know, and just calm everybody down? And why are you doing this again? IRI is the International Republican Institute based in Washington, D.C. Russian President Vladimir Putin has signed a federal law that authorizes Russia's extension to the World Trade Organization. See what that means about the Swiss dudes at the border. Georgia offers the highest cash awards for any Olympic champions in the world. Radio Liberty published a list of the awards by country. Georgian athletes stand to win $1.2 million for bringing home the gold from London. By comparison, American gold medalists will receive only $25,000. Okay, listen, $25,000 for the satellite advice to the National Security Council. All right, I will settle for $25,000. No problem. You get $25,000.
So the gold is $1.2 million. Do you guys know what the silver is? Just guess.
I give up. $25,000.
$30,000.
Are you kidding me? So it's like, you know.
And then $20,000 for a bronze.
Oh, my God. That's
what
harsh.
A huge, ridiculous difference.
That's
They're
harsh,
like, you're
man.
Not going to get gold anyway, so we'll just say 1.2.
Georgia has won a bunch of gold medals in the past year.
A bunch. It was three.
No. It's like five.
I thought it was three, and then three gold and three
okay,
silver.
Okay, but it's $3 million. Something. I mean,
that's, you know. A Georgian Olympic Committee objects to the fact that the birthplaces of two sportsmen from Abkhazia and South Ossetia, Besik Kudukov and Denis Sagargush are officially the Russian Federation on the online database of the London Olympics. Good to see that the Ministry of Reintegration is spending its time on useful activities.
Well, it says Yuzhnaya Osetia. Actually, it says Yuzhnaya Osetia, Russia, and then Gudauta, Russia.
That's bad. Gudauta, really?
Yeah, it says Gudauta, comma.
Russia.
Yeah, Russia.
Ooh,
that's
okay.
What it says. It's,
all right,
it's
okay,
the place.
Never mind. I take it back. I'm glad somebody's monitoring this. You know?
So not only are they spending their time on it, I did too.
that's so annoying. You know. Chairman of the Parliament, Dato Bakaradze, said several foreign and Georgian investment groups are interested in buying the now former Parliament building on Rustaveli. He did not give any further details. Some employees of the Parliament have the order to remove their belongings from the office, like, for example, the hardest working NGO Transparency International Georgia, which has a significant office there. You know, I think that's BS. I think they've already sold the building.
To the Arab investors, like I told you last week.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't. You know, we don't know. We don't know who these Arabs are.
It's
you
not,
know,
there's no,
the
no.
Arab investors sound so like, you know, like, I don't, you know, whoever they are. You know, can somebody
there's nothing registered in the public registry yet.
Right, okay.
So, at least it's not an official deal yet.
Right. So, well, you know, so I don't know. Somebody needs to hold some, you know, air quotes, auction, and then we'll see what happens. Okay, Kvitis Palipur ran a story this week in which they looked at trolls on their website who post comments that bash Ivanishvili and praise the government. Palipur claims that several users had up to 60 nicknames under which they posted comments. They looked at the IP addresses of these users and found that full-time trolls work at government agencies, including the Ministry of Interior and, I love this, the Dedoplitschado municipality.
You know, do they have water in Dedoplitschado yet? I think that they've got some other issues that they should be working on.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Dedoplitschado is such a...
It's Kvitis Palitra that says it. It's not the... You know,
and what's the matter with Kvitis Palitra?
All right, you're a senior columnist.
Yeah, senior columnist at Kvitis Palitra, so we'll have enough out of you, young man. Tabula has a story on the textile factories in Georgia. It says that Euro 2012, the Italian football team was wearing T-shirts sewn by Puma's order in Ajada, the national teams of Austria, which is a small Central European country. Eastern European country. The Czech Republic and New Zealand and other countries also have shirts sewn in Ajada. From a dedicated listener, the FDI foreign direct investment numbers seem to be, going up, but it doesn't sort of feel like that on the street. And the story is that there's starting at the beginning of the year, nobody noticed, but the rules for how FDI is counted now includes foreign-owned businesses, including partially foreign-owned businesses. Their profits that are not taken out of the country are counted as FDI.
But that's really interesting, because if that's really the case, you know, like every major company is British Virgin Islands owned in this, I mean, or most of them. So, I mean,
right.
The half of the economy is, you know, shell companies, and then there's somebody else behind it.
Interesting. We have not checked that out. If anybody knows about that, if there's anybody who knows, you know, how FDI numbers are calculated, you know, we had a listener who works for the IMF. Somebody checks it out, we'd be interested to know. And remember, like responsible journalists in Georgia, we never source unless you tell us we can. And in Batumi, during the reconstruction of old Batumi, the piazza was built and several properties were damaged. DI Georgia has been giving people legal aid since last summer. The Sacrobulo, or city council, finally expressed its readiness to negotiate. And as a result, a couple of the TI's clients and the Sacrobulo have agreed on conditions. Officially, the agreement will be signed in 2 or 3 weeks, and TI will be involved so that it actually happens. According to Media.ge, reporter Mari Otarashvili from Akhalgori, who works for Resonansi, a Mskhetem Tianeti news website and TV9, was temporarily detained by de facto police in de facto South Ossetia on de facto July 22nd. The de factos took her form number 9 away, which had allowed her, as the only Georgian reporter, to enter the occupied territory. Anti-Bidzina ads, Georgia's not for sale. Okay, Cameron already jumped the gun on that one. We've already heard about that. Kommersant.ge reports that today the Ukrainian Utair Ukraine airline, Utair, like a ute, like an Australian pickup truck,
or
like, okay, I don't know, performed its first flight from Tbilisi International Airport. From now on, Ute Air Ukraine will fly twice a week on Thursdays and Sundays between Tbilisi and Donetsk. Asian Development Bank will allocate long-term preferential credit of $80 million to construct new highways in Georgia. International Finance Corporation will allocate a loan worth $25 million to the Bank of Georgia. The loan aims to increase funding for women entrepreneurs. Be interesting to read the contract on how that works.
I'm going
to
follow that one up.
Yeah, exactly. Atlanta Bedwell has a story on Bloomberg about Ivanishvili in which he said he might never return to business. There's a fantastic New York Times blog post by Haley Edwards about how Georgians have started to use contraception, which led to a decrease in the number of abortions. In 2005, Georgia had the highest number of documented abortions. Now that rate has decreased by almost 50%. Information center Kartli.ge spread a video about Medvedev having exactly the same speech in 9 different villages. It's supposed to be a very, very funny video that was shooting around on Facebook and stuff. TV9 and News.ge covered a pillow fight flash mob in Europa Park in downtown Tbilisi over the wild bridge that everyone has an opinion on, in which a massive number of internationals and Georgians spontaneously had a pillow fight to bring people's attentions to the problems of pedestrian rights, cars parked on sidewalks, lack of crosswalks, and
what does hitting people with pillows have to do with pedestrian rights?
It's just fun and great. I don't know. These people,
these people get the message across of what it was really about?
I think they did, yeah. It was covered, in the mass media quite extensively. And, absolutely. It was all over the place. Mm-hmm. I've heard there's going to be another pillow fight in the fall, and the mayor's office is taking note. And, I think we're going to be in the land of pedestrian milk and honey
and these people are looking for sponsors, corporate sponsors, welcome.
Absolutely, sure. I don't know really how to contact them, but if you Google Iare Pechit, I'm sure you'll find something. According to the Sheeta Kartli Information Center, fans of the football club Dila, who attended the Oshuri Dila match in Denmark, have been detained and fined for stealing shirts. According to the center, 47 people left for Denmark to attend the Orusi Dila match on the 19th of July, and among them were employees of the Ministry of Sports and Youth Affairs. Bishop David Kvivlidze said that God sent the disaster in Kakheti because the government gave part of David Gareja Monastery to Azerbaijan. He also said the same thing happened during King Erekle's rule when Erekle settled Armenians in Georgia and allowed them to claim Georgian churches.
This guy's a bishop, man.
I know. And my understanding is actually that he's not a bishop. He's a metropole, which is basically a cardinal. Listen, I know, Ilya II listens and comments on on our thing,
he didn't follow his instructions right
his,
then.
His horrific beatitude or whatever, like, can you just talk to, Mama Daviti and tell him to, tone it down, please? Because that's just, gross. This week's GeoCapital Indicator is 5,850, which is the number of marriages that ended in divorce in 2011 in Georgia. 26% of the divorces took place during the first 4 years of marriage. But perhaps more surprisingly, 24% of the divorces took place after 20 or more years of marriage, or maybe not so surprisingly. Since 2002, the number of divorces have gone up by more than 218%. Some possible explanations for this dramatic rise in the divorce rate are the general rise in incomes, which makes partners less dependent on each other, and the increase in marriage rate, although marriages per 1,000 people only increased by 60% over the same period. However, compared to other countries, the number of divorces in Georgia, which come to 1.3 divorces per 1,000 people, is still quite low. In the United States, for example, the number is almost 5 per 1,000 couple.
I have a question about reporting. I wonder, first off, if there would be anything that the state has done related to taxation or anything that would make it, beneficial or not beneficial to show whether or not you're married or not married or divorced or whatever. And I also wonder, so many people, I know, let's say, a number of people in Georgia who are married but haven't ever gotten officially married.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know. I always find things related to marriage and divorce in Georgia a bit questionable.
It's a little more, you know, casual here. And plus, you know, there's not, I don't know, there's this idea of common law marriage, like, so that if you in the U.S., if you cohabitate for a certain period of time, then you're actually married, blah, blah, blah. Those are interesting questions that we don't know about. But thanks to GeoCapital for that information. Disclosure, I own part of it, you know, which has been much in the news this past week. Announcements. Friday at 8 p.m. you can see In July at Colga Movies across from Rustaveli Metro at 8 o'clock. It's Turkey-German production 2000. I've heard it's pretty good but have not seen it.
It's enjoyable.
Enjoyable. Good. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email address is tblpod, tblpod@gmail.com, or post on our cool forum on our cool website with Ilya II. That is www.tblpod.com.
And we also collect, you know, any ideas and recommendations for our new categories, I guess the indicator and the middle finger.
That's right, indicator and the middle finger, like the biggest pill in Georgia of the past week. And we will finish with, straight out of Jesuit High School in Dallas, Texas, class of 1957. This is Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs. He was actually of Hispanic descent, but had to half-heartedly pretend that he was Arab in order to be a pop star in the United States. How times have changed. This is Woolly Bully from 1965.